And thank you for having me here today. It's great to be here. I'm going to jump right in to our presentation. I don't have an overview slide, but I'm going to give a little bit of background on the Buffalo Lupus Project. But what will really be the focus of the presentation is the Forum Theater experience that we implemented with members of the community and participants in that larger project after the data collection phase of the project. So to jump right in, that's the disclosure slide. To give you the social and scientific background of the Buffalo Lupus Project, this project was a community-based participatory research partnership that was formed to address the relationship between a local waste site of concern and high rates of lupus and other autoimmune diseases in a very small targeted area of the Buffalo community. A cluster of lupus was identified by community members in a predominantly African American neighborhood, and there were actually three toxic waste sites that were identified in the area by community members, but one, the East Ferry site, was of particular concern as it was directly across the street from a large local church congregation and school. And there were concerns that it hadn't been appropriately fenced and indicated as a toxic waste site previously. So a grassroots organization that was formed by community members actually contacted the State University at Buffalo and other government agencies for advice on how to proceed with their concerns. The purpose of our particular research partnership between the University at Buffalo and the grassroots community organization was to identify people in the community with lupus and other autoimmune diseases and to see if exposures to the area toxic waste site of concern was a trigger for the high disease incidence in that area. So the project involved a registry to accurately assess the burden of disease in that area. And within that registry, it involved an extensive media campaign and then just word of mouth information throughout the community to engage as many community members as possible in signing up for the registry, spreading the word to family members and other affected community residents. The project also involved a survey, and the purpose of the survey was to uncover common factors that could explain the complex causes of lupus and the other autoimmune diseases identified in the community. So survey questions included areas of residence, occupation, and also medical history questions. And the goal of the project was not only to educate the community, but also to build capacity about environmental impacts on the health of community members and the procedures to follow to implement change. So this education, mobilization, and action aspect of the project included a variety of education, training and outreach activities, regular newsletters and meetings with legislators, a community involvement in the scientific aspects of the project, such as engaging community members in soil sampling methodologies. The community was also provided with information and skills necessary to be involved in the process of site remediation, which included their participation in town hall meetings and other public forums. And then just the recruitment of additional stakeholders going outside of that first group of concerned citizens to involve as many community stakeholders and other partners as possible. As far as the project data that was generated from all of these activities, the registry ended with 318 residents reflected with lupus and other autoimmune diseases having registered with the project. The survey involved 66 registrants with SLE, systemic lupus erythematosus, who had ever lived in the zip code surrounding the toxic waste site of concern being surveyed, and that data is currently being analyzed. We actually have a few manuscripts that have been published off of this data and some still in development. And then my study, the Breakfast with a Buddy Biomarkers of Lupus study, that was the ancillary study of the women who were involved in the original cluster identified with lupus on the east side of Buffalo. And that was a study, as John said, of preclinical heart disease, cardiovascular risk factors, and inflammation. And we did find that lupus cases displayed a slightly higher incidence of carotid intima media thickness, or a thickening of the arterial lining in the neck, compared to controls. But were pretty similar with regard to those traditional cardiovascular risk factors, indicating that there may have been some other mechanism playing in the thickening of that indicator of preclinical heart disease. Besides major accomplishments of successful advocacy for the cleanup of the contaminated site, and getting the fencing and signage in place that were concerns of the community, there were other accomplishments generated from the project. Based on soil sampling results, the recognized volume of contaminated soil increased from the originally documented about 3,600 cubic yards at the site to a total of 87,000 cubic yards for both on-site and off-site properties to be remediated after community involvement in those public forums and town hall meetings. And then as a result of community education, the remediation plan suggested by the community was adopted. There were about five plans that were proposed as far as the remediation of the site of concern, and the plan that the community developed was what they eventually decided to do. Community activism also resulted in a canceled county funding for local childhood lead poisoning testing to be restored to the county budget. So those were all major accomplishments of the community involvement in the overarching project. So as far as wider implications of the findings from this project, in with regard to environmental health, we did find that there was about a 7 times greater risk of having lupus in our study population relative to the general population. This was consistent with other findings of relationships, similar relationships between environmental exposures and lupus prevalence and incidence. And then the project demonstrated another instance of a race-based pattern of disproportionate toxic exposure and disease burden in a community. As far as community participation and research, our project showed how coordinated community-based education, outreach, and action really can influence health legislation. Some of the challenges of community-based participatory research that set the stage for the project that I'm about to describe, the Behind the Fence project, were some of these unequal power relations that are inherent in community-based or community and academic relationships and partnerships. You have this kind of tug of war between good intentions versus condescension, where on one side you have the good intentions of the academic community, but at times that can be interpreted by the community as condescension or undervaluing of community assets. Then you have on one side expectations of the community for academicians and researchers to come in and fix problems, but then the financial realities of what is really possible with funding levels and other barriers. And then you have the practical problems that are inherent in CBPR research. Who is going to be responsible for what? Who is obligated to do what? And then the control over the ends of research, which really is based around a building of strong relationships and trust between the entities involved. You also have institutional barriers. You have the tug between an open door policy where you're letting community partners and community residents know that you can come to us with any problem. We're going to advocate for you. And then on the side of remaining value neutral, and value neutrality can swerve over to the side of conservatism, where you're not really doing anything. You're just kind of staying in the middle and not addressing any of those very strong issues that the community feels need to be resolved. Probably the biggest problem that we encountered is just the traditional reward system that favors activities that are bringing in large research grant dollars that don't necessarily translate into the social change that community members are really looking for. So because of all of those issues that are inherent in really any CBPR project, we felt that we needed an interface between the academic and research community and the community members. So a church within the target community received a technical assistance grant to serve as that interface, to serve as that translational bridge between the academic partner and the community partners. And with that, those monies, they conceived the behind the fence concept to incorporate popular arts and the educational approach in the popular arts, under the popular arts umbrella, to give perspective to the past activities of the project, to re-energize the lupus registry and environmental mitigation efforts that were currently going on, and then provide positive vision for the future of the site. So as far as using this forum theater approach, popular arts education approach, to connect science directly with the community, all of the parties involved felt like this would give both sides a chance to give their side of the story in a creative and non-confrontational way. It would provide a picture of the intentions of both sides and the outcomes, the real life outcomes, while reflecting and showing and demonstrating the entire spectrum of the project in an arts recreation. It allowed us to see what's valued by both parties and then where frustrations persist and where there are still lingering needs. And then on the larger context of the impact of findings and the accomplishments. And then it also served as a forum to brainstorm solutions and future directions. So as far as the modalities that were used to implement this forum theater, the Behind the Fence project, it all was housed within a weekend. We had a weekend workshop with John Sullivan and his team. They came to Buffalo. And the workshop portion, before getting into the actual arts performance, was a chance for community actors to explore critical dichotomies. And dichotomies that came out of these activities were things like how little harm is possible within a community where there are going to be negative environmental concerns, and then how much harm is allowable. Also, dichotomies like, and I took some notes so that I wouldn't miss anything, but the power of research dollars. How far can research dollars go? How much change can really come about on the basis of funding alone versus the power of an energized community who's really seeking answers and justice? How far can that energized morale go to do the same things that dollars can do? But the real core of the show that was generated was how the coalition came to be, the grassroots coalition, their struggle for knowledge and credibility, and then the early meetings. So following the workshop, we went through a series of image-making demonstrations and subsequent discussion about the images that were generated. And within those images we noticed themes of despair, rage, and power on both sides, on the academic and community sides. And then lastly, out of those images, we constructed the scenes that made up the final production. So the final performance was a complete recreation of the community's tale from beginning to end. And the popular arts approach as the forum theater in the forum theater context is used to activate and launch strategies, but that wasn't applicable with the Behind the Fence project. Bless you. The Behind the Fence project was really an act of collective remembrance, validation, and celebration about what came out of the project on our end, just because a lot of the activities that are usually at the forefront of this type of activity had already been done. A lot of the issues had been resolved. Soil had been remediated. There had been those major accomplishments, where in other areas, other groups were just at the beginning of those types of activities. They hadn't attained those accomplishments yet. On our end, we were really remembering all of the steps that had taken place and the accomplishments that had taken place at this point. We did have a spect actor phase, which was the last scene of the constructed performance, where audience members were invited to physically enter into the action with new ideas for how to approach sites that were still of concern in the community. So this scene was structured as a town hall meeting. So it was very open-ended, and there open participation was encouraged. And within that scene, suggestions for ways to use the site were collected. And throughout this whole the whole production, and before the production, was a film documentary of all of the activities leading up to the final performance. We're hoping that documentary will provide other communities with a potential model for similar efforts. It involved interviews with key community members, as well as the workshop activities, and then the full taping of the final performance. Now, I have that old slated release date.
Well, it's still slated.
Okay, so it's still slated.
I'm still looking for the money to finish the final cut editing of it, so.
Now, and we have published some of the findings, and some of the narrative that I'm presenting here has been published, but we do want a more visual way to share what we did with other communities and really make it come to life as a way to involve multiple sides of a project like this one. Okay. So as far as funneling of scientific research, which was our goal with the Behind the Fence activities, we found that the Forum Theater approach really was an inclusive outreach and education modality. It integrates important principles of Bowles Theater of the Oppressed and Foray's democratizing dialogue process. The image-making techniques really deconstruct a complex context, which is really what you want in any CBPR activities. You want to bring it down to a level that the community can really understand and grasp and own. And then it provided insight onto some of those underlying issues and feelings roots of a lot of the activities that had played out in the past. And then it provided an interactive workshop that really energized the community members, and the public performance, because of that, was just really heartfelt and really exciting. But within that, we were able to increase knowledge and develop awareness about the issues that were presented and shared, and then extend and strengthen partnerships that had been developed throughout the whole process. So this is feedback that we received from some of the players in the activities from the scientific perspective, from researchers like myself who were involved in the project. A lot of them felt like it forced you to see the community as more than names on documents, which is so important. It gave names and voices to concepts and theories, and it brought to the forefront issues that always should be at the forefront in true community-based participatory research, those issues of the community. And then from a community perspective, community members felt like this project pulled pieces together in a neat way that made it easy to share information. It got community members involved in telling the story, and it made the process successful in that way. And it was unique and out of the box. So it was really the best way to impact the community. It was different. And then connecting faces and emotions to scientific data really breathed life into the environmental justice issues in the community. And then from the environmental advocate perspective, those who came to really moderate all of the activities that went on within that weekend, they felt that it was effective in creating a platform for honest dialogue and mutual education on environmental health and regulatory issues among community scientists and public policy makers, and that it really recontextualizes the process of public dialogue. And it's really the best means of infusing true passion for justice with scientific concepts and artistic self-expression. So that is all I have.